I never meant to call you when you found wrong. And welcome back to Stack the Pads, aka
the RMU Division Women's Ones. Hockey Podcast.
We chose that song because it's absolutely pouring right now.
Yep. And Owen walked into the room completely dripping.
Yeah. I decided not to wear a sweatshirt, umbrella, anything like that, because when I left Yorktown, it was completely fine.
Yeah, it was when I left at, what, like 8:30?
Yeah.
Fine. But
right when I started driving, it started pouring, and I had to make the long walk from the UPMC event center and almost fell a couple times. I don't know. I sprinted here. Yeah, it was pretty.
I think if you sprint rough in the rain, you get, I think there's like a study that if you walk, you get less wet than if you sprint.
Really?
I think I may be making that up, but I thought I heard that somewhere.
Huh.
But women's hockey.
Yeah. This was a rough weekend.
Yeah.
We're not going to lie here. Another ranked top five opponent again. And if you look at RMU's overall record and you don't know anything about this team, it's 2-5-1.
You're confused. Yeah. Why are they still getting 7 votes for the top 10?
Yeah.
It's because the teams they've played, Wisconsin number one, or not, excuse me, they're going to play Wisconsin, excuse me. Minnesota number two, Cornell now number three, was number five. Clarkson number five, was number four.
Yeah.
These are good teams.
And it's like, I remember doing the women's soccer podcast like last year, and I just remember always saying when we played like top teams, I would always do the skeptical approach. Oh, at least we played with them and we can compete with these teams. No, with women's hockey, we can beat these teams, and it's not just a testing of our skills, a measuring stick type game. It's
how
we can,
how close are we
to taking the step. I mean, we were ranked these past 2 weeks. We're not ranked anymore. And if you know anything about this podcast and this team, this is a very good team, and the record is not apparent of it.
Yeah, it's not, except for Cornell. What was it? Every game was just a couple
Union
scores. No, except for this series and Union against these top teams.
Yeah,
they were, the only big loss was against Minnesota, and that was that second half of the third period.
Yeah. It's not hard to say that this has been the roughest patch of the schedule for the Colonials so far this year, because of all these top-ranked opponents. And it's, and like I just said, like with the women's soccer example, it's not the, we're going to get destroyed every single game. And
no, it's
no disrespect to women's soccer, but this women's hockey team can compete and learn things and gain experience and get ties at least. And
because they're still young.
Yeah, this is still a very young team. I mean, led by a couple solid veterans with Gebhard and LeCavalier. But yeah, this weekend was a sweep, and it wasn't a good weekend in terms of scoring. We were shut out in both games.
First time since 2010.
That's not something you want to see, obviously. And
I mean, speaking of 2010, football's 3-0 for the first time since then too. So
yeah,
a lot of 2010 remembrances for RMU. Some good, some bad. But
shut out in both games, first time since 2010. That, I mean, it's obviously not something you want to see, but it adds insult to injury when you look at just the overall scores of these games. It was a 6-0 loss and a 3-0 loss. The 3-0 loss was one empty net goal, so it was more of a tight game in the second game. But coming in the first road game of the year against Cornell, an Ivy League school, they were ranked number 5. We were ranked number 8 coming in. The expectation was that we would battle like we did with Minnesota and Clarkson, and to be honest,
we didn't. I mean, first two periods was fine. Reagan Kirk, 26 for 28, allowed 2 goals, but it was that third where she just fell apart.
She was pulled in the third. Molly Singwald came in for her second ever NCAA appearance, and she made 2 saves on 2 shots in 9 minutes. So good for her. But, man, this I mean, you're not going to – what do you want out of Reagan Kirk? Do you want her to score a goal or something? Like, you can't win games if
you
don't score goals here.
No, 19 shots.
Yeah.
You're not going to win like that.
You're not going to win, let alone, like,
Cornell almost had that many shots in the first period, let alone the entire game.
That's, I mean, it's you're not going to get scoring chances against good teams with 19 shots on net. Obviously, Gebhard was shut out. The whole team was shut out, so her point streak ends. And just And I think that's acceptable somewhat. I mean, it's not good. She can't score every game.
No, but you'd but like
the depth scoring needs to step up. And
you'd that's like something scoring we'll talk from about somewhere.
Later. That's something we'll get to in a little bit. But just the depth scoring on this team, like, is something that Colantino has came out and said, like, that this team really needs to improve upon. And it's that, like, the Gebhardt, it reminds me of the Colorado Avalanche, where Landeskog, MacKinnon, and Rantanen are just tearing it up.
And then you have
Who? Well, they got Kadri, but...
That doesn't count. He's going to be suspended half the year.
Yeah. But, like, it just falls off of... I wouldn't say falls off a cliff, but, like, I don't know. We'll get to... There were some lineup changes made in this overall series. We'll get to that later. But I'm wondering if... Can you split up the Boyle, Templeman, Gebhardt line in tough games? I'm not saying for every game. You want them to tally 6 goals.
Of course.
Or outscore Union 11-1.
Of course you do. But, I mean, based on what we've been seeing from this bottom pair or bottom nine, basically,
yeah,
it's not working.
Yeah. And we'll get to the lineup changes later. But overall, in the first game, as we mentioned, Reagan Kirk, she had 17 shots that she stopped in the first period. And that's a lot that you're giving up in one period. Given the fact that you only shot 19 in the entire period. Good thing, though, is that we were 5-for-5 on the penalty kill.
Hooray.
Bad thing, though, means that we gave up 6 goals and they were all 5-on-5.
Yeah.
So that's concerning, if you will. But, yeah, the overall box score, 6 goals for Cornell in this one. None were empty netters. So
no.
Just a rough day for the Colonials. And Kirk gets the start, but she gets yanked. Goals came from Paige Lewis, Maddie Mills, Kirsten O'Neill, Jamie Borobanis, Maddie Mills again, and Gilles Frenchay.
I believe that would be Jamie Bourbonnais and Gilles Frechette.
Yeah.
I don't know. I took 4 years of French. I have no clue.
Okay, yeah.
Gilles Frechette's goal, if you asked me to pronounce Willow's last name, I couldn't.
Yeah.
Slobodzian? I don't know. But in the second game, it was better-ish, but not much.
I would say it was better. It was essentially a 2-0 loss, but again, nothing. You didn't generate much offense yet again. Everyone was held scoreless yet again. 2 power play goals for Cornell in this one, the big red. By Gilles Frechette.
And Micah Zandihart.
Yeah, Gilles Frechette, sounds like Frechetta pizza.
It does.
2 goals in this one, but one was the empty netter. So,
and they took 5 power, or 5 penalties.
RMU did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. The last against Clarkson last weekend, the 10 penalties really jumps out as something somewhat concerning. But I looked at the statistics. Before the show, and it's weird. The league average for penalties in the entire NCAA is 51. Guess how many RMU has had this year? 51. So it's weird that it's exactly the same.
It seems like they're getting called a lot.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
Yeah, maybe it's just the league this year. But yeah, in the second game for the Cornell game, another shutout loss that we were honestly just outplayed yet again. Ariel DeSmit played great. She was 28-for-30. Being at the one empty net goal was scored. She got the start this game, and we were wondering what was going on between her and Kirk and who Colantino was trusting. Kirk got the first start. She gave up
6.
She gave up 6. So.
I haven't seen the highlights yet, so I don't know if they were, you know,
yeah,
entirely cross-creasers or what they were.
But, yeah, she does go to DeSmit on the second game, and she plays great. And that was the headline that Geico wrote, is that DeSmit was solid, but the Colonials, like I said, with Kirk, do you want DeSmit to go down there and score a goal? I don't think it's going to happen because you can't win games if you don't score goals here. So.
And 16 shots on Lindsey Browning, who, sure, she played well, but 16 shots, really? Is that?
You can't. You gotta find a way to generate offense just in general, not even – from just the Gebhardt line, but just in depth scoring in general. I don't know. It's definitely a concerning weekend because we thought that they would at least compete like they did with Minnesota and Clarkson, and here they are shut out 9-0 overall in 2 games. So that begs the question, and it's really the topic of the day, and I have it just in bold here on our notes here. What is this team?
I
Are they good? Are they not? Are they about to take the step to becoming a consistent top 10 team? Because we're not ranked anymore. No, we only received 10 votes.
Yeah, so. I have no clue what this I mean, I'd like to think this team is elite.
Absolutely, and me too. But
I mean, if
you got to find a way to at least compete against top teams, which they did, yeah, but it's grabbing at least one win.
This is the stinker they had.
Yeah, you can't, I don't know. It seems like, and I'm not discrediting the three teams we played, but it seems like every weekend we moved down, if you will, because Minnesota, phenomenal.
Yes.
A little bit down there is Clarkson, also phenomenal, but a little bit down there is Cornell. You move down the rankings, you're trying to measure how well you can be, and it seems like we did the opposite of what you expected.
Yeah, we played well against the top two, and then, just I don't know if it was fatigue, you know, first away games against a third straight
and, top. And it is. I would say that as a factor. It's, another top five ranked opponent back-to-back-to-back weeks after you had your bye week. So, I don't know. I don't know what the confidence level is like with this team. Are they upset? I mean, they're obviously upset that they didn't, like, essentially score any goals or do anything this weekend. Mm-hmm. But also, are they somewhat
proud,
happy that they're at least contributing and showing up and being there? But as we mentioned before, RMU does fall out of the top 10 on the USCHO.
Top 10. I'm used to men's team having top 25.
Minnesota, Duluth, Boston University, Ohio State, Boston College, Princeton, Clarkson, Northeastern, Cornell, Minnesota, and Wisconsin are your top 10. Wisconsin absolutely dominating.
It does show that Cornell and Princeton, those were their first two games of the year for both teams, that they deserve to be where they were. Because Cornell was ranked fifth at 0-0-0 in record. Yeah. And Princeton was sixth at that much. So it proves that they were supposed to be there. They weren't just fakers.
I don't know about this. Like, I feel like this team is just a dark horse in terms of the entire NCAA. They're obviously going to make the AHA playoffs.
If they win the regular season
championship or not. Hopefully they do, but they're going to make the playoffs and hopefully advance around and hopefully get to the NCAA tournament. I just think this team needs more out of their depth scoring.
And who do you think, like, of that depth needs to step up?
So we don't really want to call out players here, but I don't know. This is kind of just an experiment where we say, hey, this player needs to possibly step up a little bit more, because we'll get to the lineup changes here in a second. Colantino did move the lines around. But my player is Allison Rogers. I feel like ever since she came over,
she's been quiet.
She's been there, but she hasn't been, like, she was playing on the second line, and I was a little bit confused, because I'm not trying to discredit her, but I don't really see her as a top scorer or anything. No. I see her as a third checking line winger that can possibly play the penalty kill. But the thing is, with this team, we have so many talented players that you want to put them on the penalty kill. Look what JC Gebhardt did on that 5-on-3.
Yeah.
You want those players to play penalty kill. So that takes away from your minutes of your bottom six guys, and the fact that, like,
they need to just step up.
Just in regular 5-on-5 play. Because, like, if you look at just, like, any NHL team, you have, like, your fourth line center is usually on the penalty kill.
Yeah. I know on, like, Buffalo, your fourth line up there is Gergensen's, Larson, and Okposo. That's pretty much our starting penalty kill line.
Yeah, but, like, with this team, our starting penalty killer is JC Gebhardt, and Lexi Templeman, and Michaela Boyle plays some of the penalty kill, too, because they're so fast, they're so quick, and look what Gebhardt did on that 5-on-3 against Clarkson. That was just proves that she should be out there on the penalty kill. She can create havoc out there.
Yeah, but where's the Maggie Burbages? Where's the Allie Rogers?
Yeah.
Angelica Diffendahls? Where are they on the
penalty? Oh, yeah, and just 5-on-5. I think that has a little bit to play with just coaching and how Colantino plays his lines, because he obviously wants to get the first line out there as much as possible.
Of course you do.
Like, after a team ices the puck, are they ready? Are they refreshed? Get them out there, because it's late in the period.
I wish they – do they track time on ice in?
They don't, and I've really looked. I don't know if they do somewhere, but –
Yeah, that would be a good –
like, a good statistic to look at, because, like, I don't know how much ice time Janie Sandoval is getting opposed to
opposed to J.C. Gebhardt. Yeah.
Because like we said, they're not playing like usually on like a I don't want to compare this to the team of the NHL, but like usually on like somewhat of a deeper team, you have your fourth liners, your third liners playing on the penalty kill, sometimes even the second unit of the power play. Mm-hmm. But I feel like this team just over relies on Gebhardt for so many things, and I need players like Ali Rogers, Maggie Burbage to step up.
Who was player. Supposed to be on the podcast this week, but yes. They practice.
Yes, they have a practice.
11:30.
We'll get someone in here one of these weeks.
Hopefully. But my player, I have two.
Okay.
Natalie Marcuzzi.
Yeah.
For a lot of the same reasons that you said Ali Rogers.
Yeah.
They need that depth scoring to start. She only has one goal this year, 1 point. Mm-hmm. And also, she's a center. You expect her to be good on faceoffs. Last weekend, in the first game, she was nine wins, nine losses.
Oh, okay.
Nadat. Yeah. And in the second game, she was 5 wins, 12 losses.
Yeah.
I mean, you might not say face-offs that much, but if you win the face-off, that's you controlling the puck. You can either get it out of the zone or just maintain offensive pressure. And then my other one, Reagan Kirk.
Okay.
She had that one stinker of a game, but mm-hmm. that the entire team was a stinker in that first game. Mm-hmm. Apart from that game, she's been solid. I don't know if she's been better than DeSmet, but she's definitely been up there. And I think that because she didn't play at all against Clarkson, right?
No.
So I think that maybe we'll see her full time against Penn State.
Yeah, possibly.
We'll have to wait and see.
I think I don't know. I don't know of like obviously what Paul Continuo's thinking, but I think DeSmet has really starting to. I mean, she really hasn't been outright phenomenal or anything, but she's been solid.
Yeah.
I mean, and we're not at, like I said earlier, she's not going to add to the score sheet and pot in the goal, but like she only let in 2 goals against a very good team. And I think that she's starting to separate herself, if you will, from Kirk. But we'll have to see because these are the tough games schedule.
We'll have to see if he was going with the experience rather than the. I don't want to say.
And that's the thing, though, too. It's. DeSmet just came in last year. She's a sophomore.
Yeah.
And I remember it was senior day, and everyone expected Lauren Bailey to start, and DeSmet got the start that one game. I forget who it was against, but
she
came in, and I believe she got the win during that one. So she's definitely, I don't want to say she's the goalie of the future, but we have two very good goalies here. So
also, speaking of women's hockey goalies,
it would be
stupid if we didn't say that, what's her face? Brian McLaughlin is the goalie, is helping out the men's team. So, former RMU goalie, just helping out within the program still. So good for her.
Yeah. But overall, in terms of depth, I think scoring overall, our defense has been phenomenal. Our goaltending, we just mentioned, has been solid, but up against tough opponents, and the team's not scoring in front of them. So when the team's not scoring in front of them, you need more depth scoring. I need more out of the freshmen. It seems that it seems like every weekend there's the NCAA first goal and then that's it. Mm-hmm. I need one player to just take the next step.
Yeah, I need first goal and it to continue going.
Yeah, because I always relate this to like Jake Gensel and how just so great that was for the Penguins. Just a player coming out of nowhere mm-hmm. and turning into something phenomenal. And really all you need is, I wouldn't say all you need is one player, but like one player goes a long way. If you have that depth, like Jake Gensel, for instance, for the Penguins, he allows I don't want to bring him up, but when the Penguins had Phil Kessel, it allowed him to put him on the second or third line. And it's just more depth throughout the lineup and more options with your wingers. And I really think if a player should step up, it needs to be like a freshman. Mm-hmm. Because
like if we see the emergence of, let's say, Joel Fiala.
Yeah, who has been great. Yeah. But
you could potentially... I'm not saying you should, but
put her as a second line center,
even first, and then have Gebhardt move. I'm not saying move Gebhardt down just for, but if Fiala plays really well,
yeah.
If Gebhardt moves down, then you can start moving around. Maybe Gebhardt will light a fire under Angelica Diffendahl. Maybe you bring Ali Rogers back up.
I wouldn't think that Gebhardt would be the second line center.
No,
I would
say maybe it'll be like a...
like reduce her minutes a little bit.
Yeah, like a 1A, 1B situation.
Okay, so have like Gebhardt and Templeman on the first line and maybe Diffendahl and then put Boyle and Fiala and like Maggie Burbidge or
yeah, something like
Mara
that.
Wagner on the second line.
Something like that, just to maybe light a fire under these guys.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing we mentioned. It's just the scenario with
the like Colorado first
the
line.
Colorado or Boston first line.
If you shut that down, then you're
should you split up this Templeman Gebhard Boyle line? I think obviously the first player you would separate from that line is Boyle, because I don't think you can separate Templeman and Gebhard.
No, they have too much of a chemistry together.
And you know what's crazy? We'll get to this later because I want to look at statistics a little bit. Guess how many goals Lexi Templeman has this year?
Isn't it just one?
It's just one. And now that's not like a bad thing or anything. She has 10 assists.
Yeah.
Like usually centers are the one that's getting all the assists. She's a right winger, and that's really impressive, the fact that she's setting up.
Because I think the part of it is Gebhard gets to those dirty areas.
Yeah.
So if she just picks up the rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who says it. I forget who said it, but like it doesn't have to be a beautiful goal. Yeah. It just has to go in the back of the net.
Exactly. So we do have some lineup changes that are going on with the team overall. We'll start with the defense first, because as we mentioned, the defense has been phenomenal
for
this team. I mean, you did give up 6 goals, but still, Emily Harley has just been phenomenal as a defense.
Yes, she has.
Curlett is obviously still there. She wasn't CHA Player of the Week this week, but
I mean,
oh well.
I didn't think they would have after the performance they had.
She wasn't going to get 3 straight weeks. Wason Rice and Ali Hubert, they just switch. So the pairings go Harley, LeCavalier, Curlett, Rice, Thompson, Hebert. There's not much of a change there.
No.
Just switching up things, looking for new chemistry.
Were Curlett and Rice partners last year for some?
Possibly.
I feel like I saw that.
I think Wason Rice was paired up with Maggie Legault sometimes.
Mm.
I may be wrong, but I don't know. It was either, maybe it was Kirsten Walsh too. I don't know. But that was the thing that I was very, like, I wrote in my preview about just the overall season. I was very concerned about this defense. Like, oh, no, you lost Legault and Welsh. That's two of your best players, honestly.
But they've stepped up big.
And I think that's something this program should be proud of just overall as just a program. And that's the offensive defenseman on this team. And Emily Curlett, I can't say enough good things about her. She has 5 goals this year.
5.
She's second in our team in goals, and she's a defenseman. So, that's the depth scoring that we've had so far. I don't know if you really want to rely on your second pairing defenseman to get you all these goals, but
she's technically the second pairing defenseman, but I see her out there all the time.
She's arguably our best defenseman. LeCavalier being our best defensive defenseman. And then another lineup change that we'll just get breeze over here real quick, because we already talked about it. DeSmet and Kirk, they're rotating. As we said, Singwald got her first second NCAA start. But overall, on the forward line, you still have the first line that we've mentioned, talked about, Boyle, Gebhard, Templeman. Your second line has changed. Maggie Burbidge, Natalie Marcuse, Angelica Diffendahl. So Burbidge moves up.
She was
from the fourth line.
Yeah, fourth line, and Diffendahl was on third, I believe.
Krasowski was on the second line. She moves down. Diffendahl was on the third line, and Allie Rogers is on the second line, and she moves down to the fourth line.
So 2 second-line players are all the way down to the fourth
Krasowski line. Krasowski and Rogers, like those are players that we mentioned that are – it's nice that Krasowski got a goal, I believe, against Union, but
– Yeah, it was a nice goal too.
Yeah, we need more out of these players. So the fourth line now is Krasowski, Sandoval, and Rogers. Sandoval comes back in the lineup. Leah Marino gets the scratch.
And Courtney Coleman moves up from the fourth line.
Yes, to the third with Wagner and Fiala. I think Wagner and Fiala are
a
package deal.
They're good energy. I think they bounce off each other well.
Yeah, I think they're like the two freshmen right there are having a nice solid. I think that if they can develop some sort of depth, I think that's a perfect third line there.
Yeah.
I like having Marcuse and Diffendahl on the second line because that's more experience there.
Mm-hmm. And Maggie Burbidge is young. She's – She got her first goal last week, not last weekend, but against Clarkson.
Yeah. I think that should be a lock there. Marcuse and Diffendahl on the second line. I don't know about Burbidge yet. I feel like the second line left winger
is question mark.
The biggest question mark on this team, because we need a scorer there. I don't know if it's going to be. I don't know if Joel Fiala can play winger. I don't know. I'm assuming most of these players can play because they're college hockey players.
Yeah, they can play multiple positions. I mean, speaking of multiple positions, Emily Harley.
Emily Harley. Who knows? Maybe she can move back up to offense.
Maybe.
But I don't think.
Who do they have? They don't really have a second defenseman.
They don't have an extra defenseman right now. No. Yeah. They would have to move someone back. And Harley has been playing phenomenal. I don't think that's going to happen.
Isn't Sandoval forward Andy, or is she?
She's just a forward, I think.
I know. I thought one of them was forward Andy.
But, yeah, the overall scratches just right now is Liam Marino. So, I like these lineup changes because I don't want to say, like, anything harsh about these players, but you are demoting Krasowski and Rogers, who need to step up a little bit more.
They need that little kick in their step.
Wagner and Fiala are together, which I like. Kuhlman, I don't know much about her. I haven't really seen much. I believe she was a scratch before.
Yeah, she was mostly a scratch, I think. I feel like somebody's missing from this lineup.
Maybe. I don't know.
Like, somebody I feel like is just not here. Let's see.
I just took it from Matt Geica's Twitter, so.
I know, but I just feel like, you know that feeling that's just, yeah. There's a name there, but you don't know who it is?
And if I am forgetting anyone, I apologize. But yeah.
Anna Fairman.
She's a defenseman. That's your extra defenseman.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of.
That's your extra defenseman.
Yeah, freshman from Troy, Michigan.
Okay, I apologize to Anna for that, but she is our so we do have the depth on defense there. I don't know if she could possibly move Harley up to forward, but I think Harley is there to stay.
Yeah, I think so, because who would you move? I mean, you could put Hebert back with Corlett, maybe move Rice up to Le Cavalier and put Thompson Fairman together
possibly.
But
moving on here, I want to look at the statistics because we are 8 games in, and the statistics are starting to matter. I wouldn't say matter, like,
They're showing some concerning,
some reassuring statistics.
But they're getting outshot quite heavily. Yeah.
So the shots per game average, RMU, 25.8, which, I mean, that probably took a dip from what we mentioned with this series. We got, what were the shots on the first and second game?
Like 16, 17 each
game. Something like that. And the opposition is having 32.2 shots per game. So saves in total, RMU has had to make 229. The opposition has had to make 182. Those are big numbers just overall.
Yeah, that's a 40 difference in saves.
Yeah. And like we've mentioned, just DeSmet and Kirk, they are playing good despite the goals they're giving in.
Yeah.
And we'll look at their save percentages later, and they're not the prettiest sights in the world, but still.
The team
can't score in front of them as of right now.
So we'll have to see if this lineup change does make a difference heading into first CHA play.
Reassuring stats that I found, we are third in the NCAA in power play percentage, 2.55, which doesn't sound like that well. We're 12 for 48.
Yeah, but it's good.
Third. It's third in the entire NCAA. We're averaging 3 goals a game as well. We didn't average 3 goals a game against Cornell. It's really that Union series that is really just
boosting this team so far.
Boosting these stats overall. Because the opposition has been averaging 3.6 goals against for a game. And then team leaders, JC Gebhard, 6 goals, 8 assists, 14 points. She's ninth in the NCAA.
And if you
which
don't,
is good.
If you don't include Wisconsin players.
She's like 7th or something.
Tied for 5th.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, Wisconsin has 4 players in the top 10.
Yeah.
Which just goes to show you, I'm scared for that series.
Yeah. Templeman is 22nd in the NCAA with 11 points, 10 assists.
But where's she with assists?
I don't know.
Let me try and find that.
Yeah, you can try and find that. She has 1 goal. Corlett, 5-5, 5 goals, 5 assists, 10 points. That is big. Michaela Boyle, 5 goals, 2 assists, 7 points. Emily Harley's got 5 assists as well for 5 points. So, I mean, last year, I and I'm sure this will obviously change coming with, I wouldn't say easier teams, but less skilled teams. The Gebhard is going to try and not be ninth in the NCAA. She's gonna try and tear it up some more and hopefully maybe even win a title. Because she has 14 points. That's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. But
so her
I'm sure she wants more.
10 assists are tied for 7th.
For Lexi Templeman.
Yep.
Goaltending statistics, I wrote these down as well just because, these aren't the best in the world. But as we mentioned,
they are being skewed heavily by the
just the results of overall these past couple of weekends. Mm-hmm. Ariel DeSmet's played 308 minutes roughly. I'm not putting the exact seconds or anything. She's has an 8.92 save percentage, has given up 17 goals and has won 3-1. Reagan Kirk, 171 minutes on average, 0.887 save percentage and 11 goals against, 1-2-0 record. So concerning if you just look at it from that and not know anything about how this team is, what this team has been going through. But as we mentioned many times before, this, we have a good goaltending pairing here, and I think this will obviously improve because you're below 900, mm-hmm. And I think that'll definitely change this weekend up against Penn State. So whenever I heard, like, Penn State, my first year covering the team last year, I was like, oh, boy, this is a really good school.
But not for women's hockey.
But not for women's hockey.
I don't know why that is. Their men's team beat the men's our men's team 2-1 in Penn State. But
yeah.
I don't know where.
I'm going to come out and say it here. RMU has Penn State's number and just is like
they
Penn
do.
State's daddy. It's crazy if you look at the overall history. RMU
24-6.
Yeah, 24-6 overall against Penn State in their history. So, and the home record, which this series will be home, 9-3-2, away record 9-1-4. So we had from 2012 to 2014, we had an 8-game winning streak against this team. And as we mentioned before, this is a school where you're just like, oh, Penn State, they always have good athletics. Yep. But in reality,
we averaged 3.5 goals per game against them.
Yeah, exactly. So Penn State is currently sitting at 3-4-3. They just got swept by Boston University, which is their ranked number 10th now. And overall, they're a beatable team.
Yeah, they're 1.8 goals a game for them.
Yeah, opposed to our 3 goals a game. They've only scored 18 goals. Their opponents have scored 28 goals. I'm excited for this game. And I really think Gebhardt is just going to, because she's mentioned many times, just like post-game interviews, we need to start winning. And we're going to start winning here soon. And I don't think this team is obviously happy losing, even if they are against really tough teams where they have battled hard and went to overtime. But I think the winning needs to start here for the Colonials if they want to prove themselves as the best team on campus.
They do. I mean, I think as of right now, it's that job still goes to volleyball just because of how dominant they are.
Yeah.
But it'll be interesting to see if they start a CHA play strong.
They got 2 series against CHA, and then they're back to non-conference play.
As they take on, who is it? It's but the. RPI
next weekend. So yeah, we will see
two straight unranked or un-CHA teams. RPI, St. Lawrence. Then you go back to Mercyhurst.
Oh boy!
And then number one team.
Yeah.
Is
that home?
It's at Lemieux.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's a tournament, Wisco, and then...
So it is a tournament.
Yeah.
Okay, so it'll be a different atmosphere.
And then either Northeastern or Colgate, both of which I believe are still ranked. I know that...
Colgate is not ranked.
Colgate's not ranked.
What was the other team?
Northeastern, who's 4.
Yeah, Northeastern is 4 with 5-1-0 record. 94 points overall.
We have to have the toughest schedule in...
I would argue this is a really tough schedule, but it's really just a good experience overall for these Colonials, especially with how young this team is.
Minus Gebhardt
and some of the seniors on this team.
It's good for.
But I'm excited for this weekend.
This young goaltending core to.
Yes, especially.
Maybe not get thrown to the wolves like they did against Cornell.
Yeah.
But hopefully at least battle.
Mm-hmm.
And what's your prediction for this game?
I think this is a sweep. We have to come out just out guns a-blazing. I think Gebhardt is just going to take this team on her back, and she wants to score more, and she wants to score and win. And I think this is just a sweep over there. I don't know who's going to get the start, but they're going to play phenomenal no matter who it is. And I think the depth scoring will show up here against Penn State, and an overall confidence will build with the Colonials this weekend.
Yeah, I think it's just been not only the fact that we were so good against Penn State in the past, but in CHA, we've been 13 wins last year, 13-4-3.
Regular season champions, yeah.
I think this team, yeah, sweeps. I think they go 0-4, or not 0-4, excuse me, 4-0 to start CHA play. So okay, they beat both Penn State, and then they travel to Lindenwood next weekend.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to I mean, I wouldn't say really get into the things of here because, like, it was a tough – I wouldn't call it, like, preseason, but it was more of, like, a test. Like, it was, like, there's two different types of seasons here.
Yes.
AHA – or CHA, I mean. And
out of conference. It's a tale of two.
Tale of two different seasons, I guess. But this team has to learn to win against these tough teams.
I think the fact that we're still ranked, even though we have two wins – says a lot to the quality of this team.
We're not ranked
anymore.
Well,
we're getting votes at least.
Okay, yeah, we're getting votes.
And we're getting 7 votes, and considering that the next team, Minnesota Duluth, who is ranked, is only getting 18.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I still think that this team is much better than their record states.
That's another prediction I have that I don't think it's too crazy to say that we will be ranked after this weekend again.
Oh, yeah.
At least 10th.
Especially. And it depends on who else. Because who's... Let's see, Minnesota Duluth. They're probably playing, let's be honest, like Wisco.
Yeah. But overall, as you look it up, 2 home games again against a team that looks, you hear their name and you're like, oh, wow, this is going to be a great series. And if you want to come down and watch some good college hockey, come down to the island this weekend. I believe we're 7/3 for our start, 7-5, 3-5.
So
I will be there, obviously, as always, covering the games.
Duluth plays St. Cloud State.
Okay.
Who, men's team's good, women's team not ranked, but, I mean, it's still good.
So, yeah, we will definitely be looking forward to this weekend against Penn State tomorrow. 7:05 puck drop on the island, 3:05 on Saturday. Hopefully this will be a sweep for the Colonials, and we'll catch you guys next week when hopefully this team will improve overall and hopefully be ranked yet again. See you guys then.